So, if you recall, the Mishnah noted that one ought to say the Shema for the nighttime after nightfall. But it did not use the term nightfall, Tzeita Kochavim. Tzeita Kochavim means the appearance of stars in the sky, which we take to mean nightfall. The Mishnah did not use that terminology. Instead, it said, from when the Kohanim are permitted to go and eat their Truma. So the next section of the Gemara that we're up to deals with why is it that the Mishnah specifically used that language and didn't just say nightfall. Now, one suggestion that we made earlier is that the Mishnah simply doesn't have the terminology Tzeita Kochavim. That's a later term that appeared in the Gemara. But that's not what the Gemara is going to say. at the bottom where I marked with an arrow. Amar Mar, Misha'a she'akohanim nechnasim le'echol bitrumatan. That's just quoting the Mishnah, right? The Mishnah said, from the time the Kohanim are permitted to eat the Truma. Michdi Kohanim Eimas Ka'achli Truma Mish'as Tzeisa Kochavim Leitzne Mish'as Tzeisa Kochavim. Since we know that Kohanim are permitted to eat Truma from nightfall, from Tzeita Kochavim, let the Mishnah just write from Tzeita Kochavim. That's our question. Why did the Mishnah say Tzeita Kochavim? Milsa Agav Orcha Orche Kamashmalan. The reason why the Mishnah did not use that terminology is in order to teach us something by the way. Agav Orcha means by the way. Sort of as an aside. Kohanim Eimas Ka'achli Bitruma Mish'as Tzeisa Kochavim. The Kohanim are permitted to eat Truma from nightfall. The Hakamashmalan De kapara lo me'akva. It teaches us that kapara, which means the bringing of a korban, so in many kinds of problems that kohanim might have that would require them to immerse themselves and become pure again, many kinds of those problems also require the bringing of a sacrifice. So. They go to the mikvah, and they become tahor, and then the next day they bring a sacrifice. So this Mishnah teaches us that they're allowed to eat truma even before they've brought the sacrifice. Kamashmalan de kapara lo ma'akva. It's not ma'akev, it's not a problem if they've not brought the kapara, which means the sacrifice. The term for that is a mechusar kipurim. A mechusar kipurim is a kohen who is immersed in the mikvah after being a zav or something like that, after having a kind of a mission or whatever it is. And the night he's come, so it's the next day already, and he's permitted to bring the korban, but he's not yet brought the korban, the sacrifice. That's a mechusar kipurim, one who lacks the kapara. Nonetheless, such an individual, a mechusar kipurim, is permitted to eat truma. Right, you might have thought that he has to do everything before he can eat the truma, but the answer, but this teaches us that it's not necessary. As long as the day is over and he is immersed, he need not. He still has to bring the korban, but he could eat the truma even before he does that. Kedetanya, and there's a brisa which teaches us something to that effect. The verse says in Vayikra. Uva Hashemesh Vetaher. And the sun comes, and Vetaher means it's pure or it's finished. Okay? Vetaher can mean two things. Either it's pure or it's finished. Uva Hashemesh, the sun comes, Vetaher, and it's pure. So there's going to be a midrash on that verse. Biat Shimsho Me'akvato Mele'echol Betruma. The coming of the sun stops him from eating truma, meaning he has to wait until the sun sets, until the end of the day. Ve'ein kaparato me'akvato mile'echol bitruma. But the sacrifice does not stop him from eating truma. You see how that's read in the pasuk in the verse? Uva Hashemesh, the sun comes, v'taher, and he is pure. Meaning once the sun comes, he is pure, he need not, he can eat the truma, he doesn't have to wait until he brings the sacrifice the following day. in order to eat the truma. That's how the rabbis read the halacha, learned that rule from the verse in Vayikra. Now there's going to be a whole discussion about that, about whether that's actually an accurate reading of the verse. Umimai dehai uvahashemesh biata shemesh v'hai v'taher taher yoma. How do you know that the fact that the verse says uvahashemesh refers to the sun, v'taher means the day is over? Oh, I'm sorry, I misread the halacha. Uvahashemesh v'taher means the day is over. That's how they read it. Once the sun comes, the day is over. Taher refers to the day, and not to the person. Okay? Uva Hashemesh, I read it like the alternate reading that the Gemara is about to present. I'm sorry. Uva Hashemesh, once the sun sets, v'taher, the day is over. So now the Gemara asks, Umimai hai, umimai dahai uva Hashemesh biat Hashemesh, vai v'taher tahar yoma. How do you know that the fact that the sun refers to the day, refers to the sun setting, and taher refers to the day ending? Dilma, next page. Biat orohu. Umay v'taher, taher gavra. Perhaps it's the biat oro literally means the coming of the light. Meaning not the end of the day. Not biat shimsho is the end of the day, but uva hashemesh means the coming of the light. We'll explain in a minute. And taher means the person is pure. Taher gavra, the gever, the person is pure. I'll explain it according to Tosfot because I think it's a little bit easier than the Rashi. Tosfot explains, and I underlined where they translate the Gemara in the Tosfot, but I'll just tell you what they say. Tosfot explains that this means that the sun sets, not nightfall, but sunset. And despite the fact that it's still daytime, partially daytime, the person is considered pure. So let me just back up and explain everything again. The verse says, Uva Hashemesh v'taher. And the sun comes, and it's pure. What exactly is the sun? What exactly does it mean the sun comes? And what exactly is pure or complete? Maybe taher means complete. The first interpretation said, Uva Hashemesh means the sun completely exits, which means nightfall, Sefer Kal Chavim. V'taher means the day is over. Once the sun completely is out of the picture, the day is over, and therefore the Kohen may eat. The Gemara then suggests, perhaps the verse means something else. Uva Hashemesh means not that the sun is completely out of the picture, but that the sun has just begun setting. And it's not nightfall yet. And yet, despite the fact that it's still partially daytime at some level, the taher refers to the person. Despite the fact that it's still the first day at some level, and you might have thought that the Kohen must wait at least until the next day, still, the Kohen can eat from the Truma, even though it's still partially the previous day. Is that clear, or is that not so clear? Yeah, Daniel.
It almost sounds like, when you say the sun's coming, it sounds more like sunrise than sunset.
Right.
But to use that analogy, it seems very confusing.
Yeah, I think that's true. Uva Hashem sounds like the sun is coming, but it clearly is referring to the night in the pasuk. So, because the halacha is that the kohen must wait until the next day. So I guess the argument here could be said: how much of the next day do you have to wait for? Right? Do you have to wait until the full next day, meaning nightfall, or is it just partially the next day, like sunset? So I'd like to just stop there for today. I guess we could finish. We can finish the sugya. It's a little bit confusing. It gets just a little bit more confusing. The next line. Amar Rabba Bar Rav Shila, Imkein Lema Krav Vayet Taher. Rabba Bar Shila says, if Taher was referring to the person, meaning that despite the fact that it's not fully the next day yet, the person is pure, then it wouldn't have said v'taher, but it would have said v'yetaher. The word would have been different. My v'taher, taher yoma. So v'taher certainly refers to the day. The day is complete after nightfall. K'da amri imshi, yarev shimsha v'ad kiyoma. Like the people say, k'da amri imshi means they're going to quote a famous proverb. Not famous to us, but famous to the people in Babylonia at the time. Yarev shimsha, when the sun sets, ad kiyoma, the day is over. And then the Gemara goes on and says that in Israel, in Palestine, they didn't have this, didn't have that tradition. But Ma'arva in the west, right, because the Gemara is written in the east, in Bavel. So when the Gemara says the Ma'arva in the west, it refers to the land of Israel, to Palestine. But Ma'arva, Hadarabba bar Rav Shila lo Shmaya lahu. They didn't have that teaching of Rabba bar Shila in the west. Uva'ula mibaya. And they actually asked it as a question. Right here, there was no, in Bavel, there was no question. In Israel, there was a question. Uva Shemesh, biat shimshohu? Hi, Uva, the fact that the Pasuk says Uva Shemesh, is that about the sun? Umay v'taher. Tahir yoma? Is it the end of the day? O Dilma, or perhaps, biat orohu, umay v'taher tahir gavra. Or perhaps, it refers to the sun only partially setting, and the person being pure, right? V'taher is either the person or the day, so which one is it? V'hadar pashtulo mi braisa, mi tiksani braisa, simila davar tesa kochavim. And then they answered the same thing that our Gemara answers, that it all refers to nightfall and the end of the day. Because there was another teaching that said that the Kohanim may only eat truma after Seisa Kohavim, after the nightfall. So clearly, if in order to match up the teachings, right, that teaching said nightfall, and so too our verse refers to nightfall as well. Siman ledavar Seisa Kohavim, Shma Mina, Biat Shimshohu, Umay V'taher, Taher Yoma. It all refers to the sun, to the nightfall, and what's v'taher when the day is over. So to summarize this sugya, which teaches us sort of around the, you know, by the way, it teaches us this rule about Kohanim. We asked, why is it that the Mishnah says that the Kohanim may, the time for Shema is when the Kohanim may eat their truma, and it doesn't just say nightfall. It teaches you that the Kohanim may eat truma after nightfall, even if they have not yet brought their korban. Then there's a whole discussion as to whether or not we really are talking about nightfall, or are we talking about sunset? Right? Because we know there's two different times on the calendar. There's sunset and nightfall. The first interpretation said we're talking about, the verse is Uva HaShemesh V'taher. So the first interpretation is Uva HaShemesh refers to nightfall, and V'taher refers to the day. The day is completely over. The second interpretation says Uva Shemesh only refers to sunset, the earlier part of the night, where the day is not fully over yet. V'taher refers to the person. Nonetheless, even though the day is not fully over yet, the Kohen is pure and may eat truma. We rule like the former interpretation, where Uva Shemesh refers to nightfall and not to sunset. We're going to stop there with our Gemara. And I like to use this as an opportunity to discuss sunset and nightfall, because these are times that we all see on the Jewish calendar, on Friday afternoon and on Saturday night. And what exactly is the significance of these times? What, you know, where do they come from? When is sunset and when is nightfall? And what exactly is that time in between sunset and nightfall? Twilight, I think, is the term that they use. In Hebrew, it's called Bein Hashmashot. Between the suns, or between the times. Right, so just to, you know, colloquially, sunset is the time when we hold that Shabbat begins. However, on Saturday night, we don't say Shabbat ends at sunset. We wait longer for Shabbat to end, until nightfall. And the reason for that is that the in-between time is considered Safek Yom, Safek Laila. We don't know if it's part of the previous day or part of the next day. And so we always treat it as though it's both days. So we always do whatever is more stringent. That's why on Friday, Once the sun sets, we don't do malacha. We treat it as though it's already Shabbat, even though it might not be Shabbat, according to reality. Right? In reality, we just don't know. We don't know if it's Friday or it's Shabbat. So that's why we treat it as though it's Shabbat. This all comes from this Gemara on page 3, Masechet Shabbat, where I marked. Tanu Rabbanan, Bein Hashmashot, Safek Min Hayom, Umin Halayla. Between the times, twilight, it's a doubt as to whether it's the day or whether it's the night. Safek Kulo Min Hayom, Safek Kulo Min Halayla. The whole thing might just be part of the day, and the whole thing might just be part of the night. Matilinoto lechomer shnei yamim. And so therefore, we treat it as though it's both days. That's why you're not supposed to get married, right? If you ever, when you try to time a chuppah, you don't time it for the, you know, several minutes that are between sunset and nightfall. Because then you wouldn't know which date to put in the ksuba. That's why they don't time chuppahs for that in-between time, because you don't know if it's the previous day or the next day. And you're not supposed to sign any contracts, any Jewish contracts, during that period, because the time would be, the date would be inaccurate. Or imprecise, not inaccurate, imprecise. Okay. Ve'ezehu bein hashmashot. So what is bein hashmashot? When is that? Mishit shaka hachama, from when the sun begins setting, kol zman shepnei mizrach ma'adimin. So long as in the east it's red. Vehichsif atachton velo hichsif elyon. And the horizon is dark, but the middle of the sky is not dark yet. Bein hashmashot. That's twilight. Hichsif elyon. Vehishval atachton zehu laila. Once the middle of the sky is as dark as the horizon, then it's completely night already. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. That's the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Nehemiah Omer, Kedei Sheyehalech Adam Mishetashka HaChama Chatzi Mil. Rabbi Nehemiah says that it's as long as it takes an individual to walk half a mil, which approximately is a mile. And that means from when the sun sets, it takes half a mile of walking for it to be nightfall. All of these times refer to in Babylonia or in Israel. So we know that in Israel, because it's closer to the equator, the twilight is a shorter period of time than it is here in New York. And obviously the farther north or the farther south you go, the longer that in-between time is going to be. But we generally assume that a mil is 18 minutes. So half a mil is 9 minutes. It could be, there are a few opinions, 18, 22 and a half, 24, these are all later things. But we generally assume it's 18 minutes. And so according to Rabbi Nehemiah, it's 9 minutes from sunset to nightfall. Okay? Rabbi Yossi Omer Bein Hashmashot Keheref Ayin. Rabbi Yossi disagrees with both of them and says that twilight is like the blink of an eye, meaning you can't, there is no twilight. It goes from being sunset to being nightfall almost immediately. One goes in, the other comes out, and you can't really establish when it's twilight. So for Rabbi Yossi, this period is a very short period of time. Skip to the bottom. There's a whole discussion here, but skip to the bottom for Rabbi Yehuda's opinion. And this is basically the opinion that we go with. What exactly is the time between sunset and nightfall? The Itamar, Shi'or bein hashmashot bekama. How long is the twilight period? Amar Rabba, Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Shmuel. Rabba said in the name of Rav Yehuda, who said in the name of Shmuel, Shlosha chelkei mil. 3 parts of a mile. My Shlosha chelkei mil. What do you mean it's 3 parts? What's a part? Ilema tlata palge mil. Neima mil umechza. If a part is half a mile, then they would have just said a mile and a half. They wouldn't have said 3 parts of a mile. Ella tlasa tlase mila neima mil. If a part of a mile was a third, they would have just said a mile, right? 3/3 is a whole. Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Ella tlasa rive mila. rather 3/4 of a mile. Okay? That's the opinion we go with. The amount of time it takes to walk 3/4 of a mil, that's the time between sunset and nightfall. That's 13 and a half minutes, right? If a mil is 18 minutes, 13 and a half minutes is the time between sunset and nightfall. Is that how long we waited last night? No, it is not. We waited a lot longer than that last night. Yeah, we waited approximately 45 minutes, 50 minutes, something like that. Because right, candle lighting is 18 minutes before sunset. So let's say candle lighting was 4:04. So that means that sunset was 4:22 or so. And then we didn't end Shabbos until 5:09. So we waited a while, from right 4:22 to 5:09. So there's another piece of the puzzle. And that's on the next page, page 4. Oh, sorry. Page 4 just establishes when is nightfall. How do you know when it's nightfall? So we all know, you see 3 stars, right? That comes from this Gemara. You see 3 stars. Amar Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel, Kochav Echad Yom. When you see 1 star, it's still the day. Shnayim Bein Hashmashot, 2 stars, it's twilight. Shlosha Laila. You see 3 stars, it's night. Tani Nami Hachi, Kochav Echad Yom, Shnayim Bein Hashmashot, Shlosha Laila. There's another teaching that says the same exact thing. Amar Rabbi Yosi, Lo Kochavim Gdolim. Hanir in Bayom. This is not referring to 3 large stars, which you can see when it's daytime as well. The loko chavim ktanim, and not really small stars that you only see when it's really, really dark outside. Ella balaila, ella beinoniim, rather medium stars. So 3 medium-sized stars, that's considered nightfall already. Okay? That's where it comes from. Okay, turn to the next page. The Gemara in Pesachim has a discussion about how long is the day and how thick is the sky and all these kind of what we would call agadic discussions, homiletic discussions. In the midst of that, it says, Teda, in the middle, I marked it with a line in the Gemara, Teda. Kama mehalech adam beinoni bayom. How long does the average person walk in a day? Meaning, if a person was to walk all day at an average speed, how long would that take? This is how they want to establish the times.
You mean how far would
it go? How long would it take? Yeah, how long far would he go? Sorry, how far would he go if you were to walk an average speed? Sorry, thank you, Stuart. Eser parsaot. He would walk 10 parsaot. Umealot ha-shachar ad ha-netza chama. Arba'at milin, from dawn until sunrise, it would be 4 milin, 4 miles. Mishkiat achama vatzeita kochavim, arba'at milin. And from sunset until nightfall, it would be 4 miles, which means 72 minutes. So now we have this other Gemara, which says that the time from sunset to nightfall is not 13 and a half minutes, but rather 72 minutes, 4 miles, right? The Gemara in Masechet Shabbat said that it was 3/4 of a mile, 3/4 of a mil. This Gemara says that it's 4 mil. So which one is it? Is it 3/4 of a mil? I mean, that's a big difference between 4 mil and 3/4 of a mil. And it would make a big difference as to when we can daven Maariv and when we can end Shabbos and when do we start Shabbos and all of those things. This really makes a difference for us practically. And so basically there were 2 opinions in history as to how to understand this. And both of those opinions are reflected. If you look at all of the times for Shabbat, you ever see Rabbeinu Tam time and the Gra time, right? There's the regular end of Shabbat, and then there's the Rabbeinu Tam end of Shabbat. So that's where this comes from. Tosfos over here, I marked on the left hand the Tosfos. After the bold, Rabbeinu Tam comments. Kashela Rabbeinu Tam. This Gemara is difficult to Rabbeinu Tam, who was the most famous of the Tosafot. Debesof Bamem Adlika, at the end of the 2nd chapter of Masechet Shabbat, which is the Gemara we just read. Amar Ezeu Bein Hashmashot, Mishateshka Chama, Kolzvan Shepnei Mizrach Ma'adimin Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. It asks, how long is twilight? As long as it's, you know, the east is red. Umaskina Hatam Devena Shmasho De Rabbi Yehuda Tlata Riv A Mil. And we establish there that according to Rabbi Yehuda, twilight lasts for 3/4 of a mil, 13 and a half minutes. The Hachaka Amar Rabbi Yehuda Gufei Arba Milin. And here the very same rabbi, Rabbi Yehuda, says that twilight lasts for 4 mil. So which one is it? V'yesh lomar d'hachaka amar. Metchilat shkia. D'hainu mish'a shematchelet hachamali kanes be'ovi harakia. Ad halayla have arba milin. From the beginning of sunset until full nightfall, that's 4 milin. V'hatam ka'amar Misofa Shkia. But over there, in the Masechet Shabbat, it's only talking about the end of Shkia. So, the way we interpret Rabbeinu Tam is that according to him, from when the sun sets until full nightfall is 72 minutes in the areas around the equator, in Babylonian and Israel, during the fall and the spring, during equinox. So everybody agrees that all these Gemaras only refer to equinox in Israel. So in order to establish the times anywhere else, you have to figure out, you know, the degrees and everything. It requires a lot of math. Much higher level math than I can do. But Rabbeinu Tam says that that's what Bein HaShmashot is. From sunset until the very end of the night. The 3/4 of a mil only refers to the last 13 and a half minutes of all of that. What's amazing is that according to Rabbeinu Tam, Shabbos starts and ends much later than what we have. Because according to Rabbeinu Tam, when the sun begins setting, which is when we all start Shabbos earlier than that. We start 18 minutes earlier than that. That's Friday. And then communities that followed Rabbeinu Tam, they continued to do malacha until it was dark outside on Fridays. Something that would be unthinkable to us. Right, they continue to, you know, drive and ride their horses, whatever they did, until Friday, until 59 minutes after the until an hour later, mm-hmm. Right? So let's say if we said our Shabbos, let's just assume for the minute that we were near the equator. If our Shabbos began, we said our sunset on Friday was around 4:22. Until 5:22, in the world of Rabbeinu Tam, it's not Shabbos yet. It's not Shabbat yet. It only starts being Shabbat at 5:22. And then 13 and a half minutes later, it's nightfall. So the next day, they would end Shabbos at, you know, 5:35 or so, whatever it is. 5:40. And the, you know, most Hasidic groups follow this opinion. That's why if you go to a Hasidic shtibel, to this day they daven mincha much later than a regular shul would daven mincha, because to them it's still time. Everybody knows you go to a shtibel, Hasidic shtibel, they daven mincha. It's already, you know, we're davening marav, they're davening mincha. That's because in the Hasidic worldview, which follows Rabbeinu Tam, it's still the previous day. It's still the afternoon. Until much later, right? We know that it was dark at 5:22. But according to Rabbeinu Tam, it was still Friday. It wasn't Shabbos yet at 5:22.
And we took it to Torah punctual.
That's right. Okay. However, we don't really follow that. Even though, by the way, you should know that most Rishonim, almost the entire corpus of rabbinic literature, follows Rabbeinu Tam. But the common custom has become to follow the Gra, the Gaon of Vilna. And I won't read everything inside, but I copied, if you look on the next page, page 6, this is the Shulchan Aruch. The Shulchan Aruch just paskins like Rabbeinu Tam. And then you see where it says Bior Hagra, and then there's a lot of very, very small print in the middle. Mm-hmm. So on the next page, I just I brought another edition of that instead, because it's impossible to read the previous page. It's just way too small. The Gra says that Rabbeinu Tam can't possibly be right. Because anybody who's been outside an hour after sunset knows that it's pitch black outside. It can't be Friday afternoon and it's already pitch black outside. We know it's Shabbos. He says, I underline the word, hachush makhish. The senses dispute what Rabbeinu Tam says. Hachush means my sense. Disputes what Rabbeinu Tam says. So rather, I'll tell you what he says. The Gra effectively says that the whole Gemara in Masechet Pesachim was just an agarata. It's a homiletic, you know, interpretation, and it's about it refers to just, you know, it's in order to explain the science of the world in the days of the Gemara, but it's not about halacha, and that's true. That Gemara is not a halachic Gemara. It's just homiletic writings. The only Gemara that matters, says the Gra, is the one in Masechet Shabbat, where it was 13 and a half minutes. So from when the sun sets until 13 and a half minutes, that's nightfall. Adjusted for our times, around now, it would be approximately 25 minutes. So in the world of the Gra, our Shabbos would have ended last night at 4:22. About 4:46. In Israel, that's the commonly followed opinion. So you'll notice when you go to Israel, when Shabbos ends, so if you follow the times that the Jerusalem synagogues publish, when Shabbos ends, it still sometimes looks like it's light outside. Because as the Gra explains, Rabbeinu Tam's end of Shabbos, that approach where you wait until much later, you see a million stars in the sky. Yeah. It's not three stars. The Gra says you wait for three medium-sized stars. That's what the Gemara said, three medium-sized stars. When you see three medium-sized stars, if you don't have any light pollution, when you see three medium-sized stars, there's still some light from the sun outside. And the Gra says that's when Shabbos ends.
Wouldn't that also dispute your senses that it's still...
No, because the Gemara... Yeah, but the Gemara established that the definition of nightfall is three medium-sized stars.
So, like, if you go up into the Helderberg Mountains... And there's no light around there, you'll see stars, and it's not completely dark yet.
Right.
Yeah.
No, that's what the Gra is saying. The Gra is saying the three medium-sized stars come out way before there's no sun. So in the Gra's world, Shabbos ends earlier than it does for us. So our opinion is neither like Rabbeinu Tam nor the Gra. Our opinion comes from a compromise position that was established in New York City in the 1950s. So up until the 1950s, it's amazing, right? You think, oh, the Shabbos ends, it's Halacha L'Moshe Mesinai, 509. It's not. It's a compromise that was arrived in the 1950s. Up until the 1950s, the Hasidic groups in New York followed Rabbeinu Tam, and the Lithuanian groups and the German groups followed the Gra, which is also the opinion of the Gaonim. And what would happen, it would be a funny situation. Where on Friday evening, in the same apartment building on the Lower East Side, you would have one family that had already lit candles and accepted Shabbos, came home from shul, and ate dinner. And the Hasidic family next door, the husband was just driving home from work, and was still, you know, it was still Friday for them. And then on Saturday night, you'd have the opposite problem, where one family would set Avdallah and end the Shabbos, and the other family is just davening mincha on Shabbos afternoon. And so there was this... this kind of conflict between the two groups. So, on page 8, I have somebody who... I know about this compromise, but I can't find the original documents. I found the documents for a later compromise. But the people involved were basically the Satmar Rebbe and a few other people that wanted to make a deal. And the deal was, effectively, that... Everybody would agree to start Shabbos before it gets dark and end Shabbos after it gets dark. And the way they made it easy for everybody is to effectively establish that the end of Shabbos would always be an hour after candlelighting, which means 42 minutes after sunset, because candlelighting is 18 minutes. We use 18 minutes before sunset. That's why in the old books... Never, if you look at the old Jewish calendars, they never have the time for the end of Shabbos. They always have candlelighting on Friday. Because if candlelighting on Friday is 4:04, then Shabbos ends at 5:04. It's never, you know, it was never more complicated than that. So they came to this agreement. And Rav Moshe has a tshuva here on page 9 and 10, where he says that he stood outside in New York City on the Lower East Side, which is where he lived. And he looked outside and he said, you don't have to wait. The Hasidim that say you have to wait 72 minutes are wrong, because I stood outside and it's never longer than 50 minutes. Even when it's longest, it's 50 minutes. You stand outside and all the smallest stars are in the sky 50 minutes after sunset. So it's never longer than 50 minutes. And that's generally the approach that our, you know, now that we have fancy computers that calculate times, so we have a different time for the end of Shabbos every week, and it depends on whatever calculation they came up with. But in the olden days, it was just an hour after candlelighting would be the end of Shabbos.
But that's not a halachic hour.
Not at all. The time that you see at the end of Shabbos that we have, you know, 5:09 last night, I mean, we look and, you know, I looked at the clock and everything. But in reality, according to the truth of halacha, before this compromise, because it, you know, was reached by the communities in New York, Shabbos either would have ended at, you know, 4:45 or so, or much later at 6 o'clock or so. It's only once these compromises were reached that we got to this, you know, 5:05 or 5:09 or whatever it is. I think that you know, that it actually should make a difference to us, because you know, we should generally follow that compromise because it was agreed upon by everybody, and you know, for good reasons, that the whole community could live together and have Shabbos start and end around the same time. However, I would say that there are times when it probably makes sense to follow the Gruz opinion. I mean, the truth is that the Lithuanians won out. Because we don't follow, right? Effectively, we follow the Gruz opinion and then wait a few minutes later. Because according to Rabbeinu Tam, when we make Havdalah, it's still Shabbos. So we don't, I mean, it's, we call it a compromise, but it's not really a compromise. We follow the Gruz, because we wait, you know, 15 minutes later than the Gruz would have waited, or, you know, 25 minutes, whatever it is, depending on the time of year. But in reality, we don't follow, it's not really a compromise. It's not like, according, Rabbeinu Tam would never make Havdalah, wouldn't light the candle when we lit the candle last night. Because according to Rabbeinu Tam, it's still Shabbos. So the reality is that we follow the Gra. And in Israel, most communities just follow the Gra. There is no compromise in Israel. In Israel, because the Gra's opinion was really the Gaonim's opinion. The Gaonim lived much earlier, and so the Minhag in Israel was established by that opinion for you know, 1,000 years. It's been that opinion. It's not, that has not changed. That they follow that approach in Israel. So some of the Hasidim that came later, if you go to the Hasidic shtibles, they will many of them will continue through the Rabbeinu Tam time, but most of Israelis, the non-Hasidic Israelis, Sephardim and Ashkenazim, follow what we call the Gra time, but it's really much earlier than the Gra, the Gaonim's time, that follows the Psak in Masechet Shabbat. It's the Gemara's opinion in Masechet Shabbat. I think that for us, it might make a difference halachically when the time for Tzeit HaKochavim is very, very late, according to us. So for example, for starting the Seder on Passover, you basically, you know, if you just follow the Gra's opinion, you could start the Seder 20-25 minutes earlier than we started. And, you know, on the first night, it gives you something, but on the second night, it really gives you a lot. You know, we start the Seder very late on the second night, because you can't have any preparations until nightfall. But once you know the real halacha behind this, you know that nightfall is not 5:09, or, I mean, by the time Passover comes around, it's not, you know, 8 o'clock or whatever.
Yeah, because April, and
right.
It's already...
Right, it's not 8 o'clock. It's really like 7:30. You know, around April, around springtime, it's really about 15, and in New York, it's really about 15 minutes after sunset. So let's say, you know, it's so you really don't have to wait the full hour. So in it's my opinion, and the opinion of some other poskim, that you know, on Passover, when there's a reason privately in one's home to follow the Gra, there's really no reason why you shouldn't follow the Gra. Rav Soloveitchik used to say that according to the Gra's opinion, the longest, which means in the winter, the winter is when it's longest between sunset and nightfall. The twilight period is longest in the dead of winter. It sounds strange, but that's what it is. That the longest it ever is half an hour. The range is basically between 15 minutes and half an hour. By the time Pesach rolls around, it's really only a 15-minute interval, according to the Gra, between sunset and nightfall. And that might be a reason, that might be an opportunity.
Because in Passover, you're not that far from the equinox.
That's right, from the vernal equinox, that's right. So,
you said that it's not unreasonable to say you do that in the privacy of your home, but the part of the community, right? So how do you work between the two?
Well, your Seder is in the privacy of your own home.
Right, but it involves people from your community who come to your house to partake in your Seder.
Yeah, I think that there's...
No matter what you do, it always... Yeah. We have this thing with the community starts Shabbos at 7 o'clock in the summer.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I had a crazy job. I would never get home in time by 7 o'clock.
You don't have to. I mean, that's... Right. We'll stop here.